Welcome, Eagles, to another episode of Trad Cat Night Radio. I'm Eric Kajewski, founder and owner of Trad Cat Night, the most viewed and followed traditional Catholic website worldwide, ranked number one in the world, according to Alexa, as it relates to traditional Catholicism. And today, ladies and gentlemen, I have another blockbuster talk for you. I have with me Michael Schneider from the Economic Collapse blog.com. Of course, many of you already know him. His articles get circulated quite frequently throughout alternative news media. But, you know, as you know, he is a writer and he's a founder of that particular website. I'll get all of this up for you in the description box so you can't miss it. I'll even leave a link to his book, which you can order. And I think that's a pretty, I think that's a title that he uses, The Beginning of the End, which I think a lot of people are starting to realize the times that we live in. So we're going to cover a lot of different topics, hopefully get into days of Lot, you know, signs of the time. We're obviously going to break down the elections here first. But without any further ado, I mean, I just want to get right into it, Michael. I mean, feel free to add anything you want to add to in terms of an introduction. I'm really curious to see how you're looking at things as it relates to this country and the elections. So maybe we could start there with your analysis and your breakdown.
Yeah, and it's great to be with you, Eric. Thank you for having me on today. And in terms of this election, I think that, you know, this is what people are talking about right now, because what we just witnessed, I believe, and I told my readers ahead of time, I said, hey, you know, things aren't looking great for Trump. If Trump wins, I believe that it would be the greatest miracle in the history of American politics. And I believe that's exactly what we just witnessed. And, you know, on election night, I was sitting there. And for the first couple of hours, you know, the results started to come in. And at first, you know, the numbers coming out of Florida and Ohio and North Carolina, they showed Trump behind. It didn't look good for Trump. And Trump had to have those states if he wanted to have any chance. And it looked like he might lose all of them. And that it might be, you know, a Hillary Clinton landslide at first. And so people were kind of freaking out. But then we saw this remarkable wave as the election day votes started to roll in. Because a lot of those early votes reflected early voting. But, you know, and all those states went for Trump. And then in the upper Midwest and so Donald Trump, miraculously, despite everything that the mainstream media tried to destroy him, you know, in past elections, they at least try to maintain a facade of objectivity. But in this election, that was all out the window. Every single day, they were trying to just dump as much sewage on Donald Trump as possible, try to absolutely destroy him, and it didn't work. And then Donald Trump was at war within his own party, where we had people like the Bushes come out and renounce him, Mitt Romney, John McCain, and, you know, and it never seemed to stop, where he was at war with his own party, and that didn't stop him, you know. And then we had this October surprise with this lewd audio tape come out, and for any normal candidate, that would have completely destroyed any normal candidacy, but that didn't stop him. And so, you know, in overcoming all the odds, way behind in the polls, and it appears the polls were wrong, but no one gave him a chance. You know, many of the big media organizations were saying, hey, 99% chance, 95% chance, 90% chance Hillary's going to win. And yet Donald Trump won. And so, I was surprised. So, you know, most of the country, I think, was surprised. And yeah. People are shocked. People are stunned. People don't know quite what to make of it. But now we're facing the prospect, the very real prospect, that Donald Trump will be president, inaugurated president on January 20th. Now, we're not there yet. We can talk about why, because there's still, you know, some hurdles to overcome. But it looks like that's going to be a reality, and we're going to have President Trump. And what is that going to mean moving forward? Well, I think we can talk about that.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that. That was one of the questions I had written down, Michael, to ask you, is a possibility of, you know, some sort of catastrophic, you know, EMP, you know, attack by Russia or Islam or something. I mean, some false flag that ultimately we could have Obama come out, institute martial law and say, hey, you know, this ain't happening.
Yeah, there's certainly the possibility for that to happen, where some kind of major national emergency strikes, and Barack Obama saying, "Hey, I've got to institute martial law. We can't have a transition of power right now because there's, some type of major emergency." So that scenario is still in play. And then, something that I pointed out even before the results of the election were in is the Electoral College, because it's actually not the American people that elect the president. It's the Electoral College that elects the president. And traditionally, more than about 99% of the time, the electors of the Electoral College have followed the will of the people. But coming into this election, for example, there was one elector for the Democratic Party, which had already publicly announced, "Hey, I'm not voting for Hillary Clinton. She's not getting my vote." And so there was already some controversy. But now, it appears that the margin for Donald Trump in the Electoral College is going to be pretty substantial. So we're not talking about a razor-thin margin where just a few votes could swing it. So it's not likely that we could see a full-blown revolt in the Electoral College against Donald Trump. However, there's another scenario where if something were potentially to happen to Donald Trump between right now and December 19th, when the Electoral College meets, we have over a month. If Donald Trump was incapacitated in some way, then all the electors which are supposed to vote for Donald Trump, they could vote for whoever they wanted. And so we could potentially see the election swung in a different way there. So that, Donald Trump is not the president-elect yet. He'll be president-elect when the Electoral College meets on December 19th and cast their votes for him. Then he'll be president-elect. Then from that point, we still have January 20th to get to Inauguration Day. And so let's pray for his safety that he could make it to Inauguration Day, and that Inauguration Day is not delayed or suspended in any way. But assuming we can get all over through all those hurdles, then we'll have a President Trump. Now, what will America look like? In my opinion, this could go very, very good, or there's a potential it could go very, very badly, because what we have is a situation where it's kind of like an organ transplant, and the doctors wait to see, well, is the host going to accept or reject the transplanted organ? And here we have Donald Trump going to become the captain of a ship, of which the system, it has the potential to react very negatively and violently to him. And now we're already starting to see this in, election night and last night as well. Last night there were a major protest in 10 different cities around the country. There was violence. There's been some looting. But a Trump supporter was viciously beaten last night by those were by anti-Trump people. So already we're starting to see some civil unrest, some protests, some chaos start to emerge. And if things don't go well, and Donald Trump can't bring the nation together, I mean, that has the potential just to escalate completely out of control beyond anything we've ever seen before. Because right now, the radical left are already using the words, "We've got to fight Donald Trump," or "We got to be ready to fight." So they're using the word "fight" very prominently. And I think that's a very ominous sign, potentially.
Yeah, even InfoWars, we reblogged that. I mean, they're calling for him to be assassinated. I mean, that's the blunt words that some of these quote unquote protesters are putting out there. I would also add to consider, let's say he does possibly try to prosecute Hillary. Could you imagine the ramifications of that? How the country, the far left would react to that in terms of building up civil unrest and. I'm right there with you. I've been saying this even before the elections. I personally thought Clinton was going to get in. I thought that's where the NWO wanted to go. But even with him installed, I think they're basically just going to use him as the scapegoat for this economic collapse, which I'm sure you believe, I believe, is more imminent now. I'm actually kind of surprised that it hasn't happened yet. I've had on all the top economists, and they're saying by year's end, some said by year's end 2017. But yeah, ultimately, there's so many wild cards here to consider. But yeah, Trump assassination, the civil unrest. Let me ask you this: what do you think the psychology or psyche was going into people voting on election day? Was it, they saw Trump as the quote unquote lesser of two evils, or do people do people think he really is the real deal? Because I know with Trad Cat Knight, it's kind of a mixed bag. Some think he's the real deal. Others think he's just, you know, he's just another puppet. I mean, what do you think was the overall psyche? People just fed up with the system?
Well, I think 20 to 30% of the nation, maybe, believes he's the real deal. They believe in Trump. They think he can change things. They can, and I certainly I'm hopeful that that could be the case, but I'm more along the lines of that group of people that was actually more concerned about a Hillary Clinton presidency than was pro-Trump.
Sure.
I mean, the thought of 4 years under Hillary Clinton absolutely terrified me, and I was personally alarmed because of myself and you being in the alternative media, knowing how vindictive and temperamental Hillary Clinton is, where she'll just, you know, pull Secret Service agents aside and just go into a profanity-laced tirade, you know, of people who are supposed to be protecting her. And, you know, and she's so, the Clintons are so vindictive. I mean, just Google Clinton body count of what they do to their enemies or people who could have, you know, testified against them and so on. And so for people like me or in the alternative media who've been saying, speaking out very strongly against Hillary Clinton, then her actually becoming president, that things may have not gone well for people like me and you and other people in the alternative media. So for people like me, I was far more concerned about keeping her out than getting Trump in, actually. And I think there was that element of it. But now we also have to acknowledge, and the radical left is already making a very big deal of this, in that Donald Trump won the Electoral College, but more Americans voted for Hillary Clinton than voted for Donald Trump. And in fact, by the time all the votes are counted, because we still got about a third of the vote to be counted in California, 40% of the vote to be counted in Washington State, and of course, the entire West Coast is extremely liberal. So at this point, I checked the numbers this morning, Hillary Clinton had a lead of about 300,000 votes. But if the margin stays the same in California and elsewhere, she could pick up easily another million votes to that lead. So we could be looking at a situation where Hillary Clinton actually got more than a million votes more than Donald Trump. And so the American people chose Hillary Clinton, but instead they got Donald Trump. And the radical left is already making a really big deal of this. And they're saying, no, the American people actually picked Hillary Clinton, but because of the Electoral College, Donald Trump's going to be the next president. So I think that could feed into some of the unrest as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. One of the things I've been paying attention to, and I've been trying to tell our followers, is pay attention to not only revolution here, ultimately, United States, but just worldwide. Whether it's, you know, Arab Spring or what's going on over there in Europe, using what Albert Pike said, who I'm sure you're familiar with, and what he wrote about World War III, where he talked about how there would be worldwide social cataclysms where basically the far left and the revolutionaries would rise up. And the key point is it would happen right around World War III. So that's my next question to you, Michael, is, you know, how does this election change the possibility of conflict between United States and Russia? Does it push back World War III? Is there still a potential for another false flag to happen here, to wherein that could drag us into World War III? I mean, how does this change things geopolitically?
Well, once again, I'm hopeful, although I'm going to wait and see what happens, because certainly over in Russia, you know, Gallup took an opinion survey not too long ago on the approval rating in Russia of current U.S. leadership, i.e. the Obama administration. And it came back with a 1% approval rating of U.S. leadership over in Russia. So over in Russia, how they're looking at us, I mean, it's even worse than it was at the end of the Cold War in terms of their perspective on us. And over in Russia, they're openly talking about World War III. They're conducting massive civil defense drills. People are buying up food and supplies, and they're doing more prepping in Russia than we're doing here in the United States right now. A recent TV broadcast, they actually urged people. They said, hey, this thing in Syria is getting really serious. You need to go find your local bomb shelter in your neighborhood. Know where it is in case war with the United States erupts. So that's the mindset in Russia. And then they were very concerned about Hillary Clinton. For example, Vladimir Zhirinovsky, you know, top politician over there, he told Reuters that, hey, if Hillary Clinton is elected, we could very well see World War III. The possibility of that went way up. And so I think the Russians were relieved that Donald Trump became president. They're hesitantly optimistic about that this may improve relations. However, I think we need to take a couple things into account. Number one, Donald Trump is likely to listen to the Pentagon, and the Pentagon is very anti-Russia at this point. They very much want to do something in Syria. So the Pentagon is very hawkish, very, very anti-Russia at this point. And so will Donald Trump listen to the generals, listen to the Pentagon? That's a concern. And then number two, I mean, Donald Trump does have a temper. And, you know, of course, I believe Hillary Clinton's is even worse. But, you know, Donald Trump, everyone's kind of assumed that he's going to be friendly with the Russians. But Donald Trump has been saying, hey, you know, I don't know about Russia. I'd like to have good relationships with them. But we've seen Donald Trump is not exactly the most diplomatic individual. And the Russians are already on edge. You know, I could see the potential for that for things to improve, but also for things to get much worse if Donald Trump decides he wants to take a hard line with Russia. So we don't know what's going to happen. I'm hopeful that this means that we could, you know, things in Syria might settle down, relations with Russia might improve. But I want to acknowledge that there's also the potential that things could get a lot, lot worse, too.
Yeah, now get this, we reported upon today, I mean, this was all throughout mainstream news, they said 45% of professed, quote-unquote, Catholics, and I use that in quotations because these people truly aren't Catholic, actually went out and voted for Clinton, and they were trying to make it seem like it was a positive thing because it was a drop-off from 50% from the previous election. And again, I've always been warning people of this socialist, Marxist, Masonic infiltration of the church, which is just dragging people more and more into liberalism. And so I wrote a piece this morning just ragging on these people who are professed Catholics, and truly they're not. What I wanted to ask you, though, Michael, is let's try to transition here, I guess, a little bit into things economically. I know you did a piece on how $152 trillion in debt now? I mean, some ridiculous number. We can't even keep track of it anymore. Then you also did an article on how two-thirds of Americans will run out of cash quickly. You know, what are some of the latest economic numbers, both domestically, and then you could break it down wherever you'd like to go, whether it's China, whether it's some of these banks over in Europe. But, I mean, what are you paying attention to that is cause for concern, you know, the last few weeks?
Yeah, well, you know, in terms of the overall, you mentioned the $152 trillion. That's the total amount of debt in the whole world, the biggest debt bubble we've ever seen in the history of the world. And what we did, you know, we had the crisis in 2008 and 2009, and, you know, it seemed like, hey, is it going to be the end of the financial world? What's going on? But instead of fixing our fundamental problems, what we did is we papered everything over, and we went on the greatest debt binge in the history of the world since that time. And so, you know, of course, global debt's higher than ever. But you look here in the United States, where when Barack Obama entered the White House, we were $10.6 trillion in debt. Now we're $20 trillion in debt, almost doubling. Or if you look at corporate debt has doubled since the last financial crisis. And, you know, whereas corporations are more in debt than ever before. Or U.S. households. U.S. households today are $12.2 trillion in debt. And so we're more in debt than ever before. And what that does, what debt does, is it brings future consumption into the present. And now, just on a personal level, people can understand this. Like, if you go to the store and you take your credit card and you buy a 70-inch television, well, your standard of living can go up today, but it's at the expense of the future. So, and virtually anyone out there today could start living like a millionaire immediately, at least for a while, you know, putting, you know, everything on credit cards, traveling, sure, buying a new vehicle. But a day of reckoning eventually comes. And now what we've done during the Obama years is we basically put, you know, all this on our national credit card, making the present look better. But the expense, what we're doing to future generations of Americans, you know, since Barack Obama's been in the White House, we've been stealing more than $100 million an hour every single day of every single week, of every single month, of every single year from our children and our grandchildren, stealing that amount of money from them every single hour since Barack Obama's been in the White House, more than $100 million an hour. And I mean, that's a crime of such magnitude that it's, you know, I don't know if I even have words for it.
Yeah.
And yet people come to accept, well, this is normal. This is just what we do. We steal from the future. So we're literally destroying the, because that's what debt does. Debt destroys the future. And a day of reckoning is coming. And so Donald Trump's coming in and people say, oh, he can make things better. Well, to a certain extent, the damage has already been done. And the only way to keep things at this artificially inflated standard of living is to keep going into more and more and more debt, which, you know, at some point is going to be absolutely impossible to do. So that's what we're facing. But even though we've done this and inflated our standard of living, Barack Obama is still going to be the only president in all of U.S. history to never have a single year when the economy grew by at least 3%, and he had two terms to do it. And so we've been in this economic stagnation, even though we've been stealing from the future to make it, because if we weren't stealing from the future, we'd be in a rip-roaring depression right now. So we've been pumping our economy up falsely, but still we've been in this period of stagnation, and things continue to get worse for the middle class, where one survey came out, they found the previous year, 62% of all Americans had less than $1,000 in savings. Now they found it 70% of all Americans are basically living paycheck to paycheck. They don't have a cushion to fall back on. So people are hurting. People are working two or three jobs to try to pay the bills. People are struggling just to get by. About two-thirds of the country is just living paycheck to paycheck. So if we did have another reversal, like in 2008 or 2009, what did we see back then? All of a sudden, millions of people lost their jobs, and because they didn't have anything to fall back on, they couldn't pay the mortgage, foreclosures went through the roof, and we saw so many people went from living a comfortable middle-class lifestyle to being out on the street very, very rapidly. So there's the potential for so much to go wrong. We're living in this giant bubble, and now here comes Donald Trump. You know, a lot of people are hoping things will get better, but really, to a certain extent, the damage has already been done, and the, you know, and it's not going to take much to push us over the edge.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's just buying time, whatever you want to call them, the oligarchs. You know, propping up the Ponzi scheme seems to be a pretty apropos title. But I agree with you. You know, buying time, and then ultimately they put Trump in there, and he could be the fall guy for this collapse. And again, you know, what's going to transpire after that in terms of civil unrest? People already hate Trump. I mean, goodness, I'm sure you've seen some of these videos too, Michael, on YouTube, the past 24 to 48 hours. I mean, people cursing at the top of their lungs. They want to move out of the country. I'm like, really? I mean, it's like, is that bad? It's just unbelievable how radical the far left is. Tie this into the you know, a hot topic these days, Michael, and the push towards a cashless society, maybe digital currency. Again, we've had on some of the top economists, that seems to be what they're arguing. For those who may be not aware of this, I try to bring up this point when we're talking about the mark of the beast. For those who might not know, the early Catholic Church fathers actually warned that that's first a reference to the counterfeit baptism of the New Age religion. So pay attention to that first. I know we get hung up on the actual chip, which is a part of the program, but that's secondary to the primary thing of the New Age, which will be this Luciferian initiation, which even David Spangler of the UN said had to happen. You have to buy, get this counterfeit baptism, and then you can get your chip and go out and buy and sell. But I digress. You know, tie this into the cashless society. Are your followers worried about this? I mean, how fast are we moving along?
Yeah, well, it's been happening all over the world. In fact, just as we've been focused on this election, over in India, they're phasing out the denominations of 500 and 1,000 in terms of their paper currency as they move people more toward a digital system. And they're saying, oh, we got to do it because of money laundering, because of drug dealers, this and that. And so they're phasing out their highest denomination notes. And actually, over in India, we think of them as impoverished, but there's been a major push to push people to debit cards, to push people toward more of a cashless thing, even over in India. And of course, over in Europe, it's far more advanced, where you've got a country like Sweden, and you can't even ride the bus and pay for cash, you know, where almost everything, you know, in fact, over in Sweden, ATM machines have been pulled out by the hundreds because people just don't use cash anymore. And, you know, they're so advanced. You know, you go to church and people are tithing in a cashless system. You know, I saw a big article about that a while ago. Or over in Norway, where the biggest bank in Norway recently came out and called on the government of Norway to completely eliminate all cash. And we don't even want to do cash anymore. In fact, Norway and Sweden, you could go into some banks, they won't give you cash and they won't even take cash from you anymore. You know, over in Finland, the government has a stated goal of eradicating cash. That's their term in the not too far distant future. And, you know, or you look at nations like Spain, you look at nations like Italy, where they've and France, where they've set a cap where you can use cash up to a certain amount, but anything above that is illegal. You cannot do a transaction over a certain cap, and it's different amounts in different countries. But so that they're slowly making cash illegal. Yeah, you can still use it for very small purchases, but anything above that is illegal. So we're seeing this movement happen all over the world, this movement toward a cashless system, a cashless society. And we're seeing this. But, of course, there's this backlash against this move toward when Donald Trump says, hey, I don't like these free trade deals, we're being ripped off. Well, the elite respond so negatively against that because they're trying to merge the whole global economy together into a one world system. And one of the primary ways they're doing this advance toward a one world economic system is through these quote unquote free trade deals. And so Donald Trump is a direct threat to that. Or you look at Donald Trump's opposition to the United Nations, where he said, hey, the United Nations is not a friend of the United States, so on and so forth. Well, the global elite, the United Nations is one of their big things, or how Donald Trump spoke out against the European Union, spoke in favor of the Brexit. Well, for the global elite, that's, you know, they use institutions like the European Union to move us toward a one world government, the United Nations toward a one world government. And so Donald Trump is a threat to that, the move toward a one world government. Or when Donald Trump says, hey, Islamic terror, Muslims, they are Islamic terrorists. Well, for the global elite that want to move us toward a one world religion, merging the religions of the world together, well, that's a direct threat to that. So Donald Trump represents a threat to one world economy, one world government, one world religion. That's why they got to destroy him. That's why, you know, what they could do now that Donald Trump is potentially going to become president, is where they crash the system, blame everything on Trump, because they've got to destroy him in order to advance their agenda.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's very, very interesting times. Again, I have with me Michael Schneider from the economiccollapseblog.com. Please get to his website, bookmark it. A lot of great information coming out on his side of things. Let's transition into an area that I know you and I certainly talk about. It's the need to prepare. I don't know what you're called, a crazy conspiratorial nut job like me, but I just simply reference scripture where we have definitive references that point to a need to prepare, whether it's Noah, of course, whether it's Joseph who stored, grain for the 7-year famine. To me, it's simply prudent, but a lot of people will label us nut jobs. Talk to us a little bit about that, because as you mentioned, we have, I think it was even Greenspan or someone in our government saying, the need to prepare. We have Russia saying, prepare to its people. A lot of European governments are doing the same. Talk about how people can be practically prepared, and then we'll work off of that.
Yeah, in terms of preparation, it's something that I've been writing about for a long time. And sometimes I get criticized actually by Christians because and I even had one write me and he said, I agree with everything you're writing about and things are going to fall apart. But that if you really are a Christian, you should just trust God and have faith. And that if you make any preparations, well, then you're not trusting God. And so what you're telling people to do is not biblical. And so I reflected on that and I said, well, let me think about that, And as I reflected on that, I thought, well, if this guy says we should do nothing and for ourselves, we should just, quote unquote, trust God, just sit back on our sofas, watch television, eat potato chips. And if something needs to be done, God's going to do it. Well, my question to him is, Well, why does he get up and go to work in the morning? If he just is going to trust God, why doesn't God just zap money into his bank account when he needs it? Or if he's just supposed to just sit back and trust God, well, why does he put gasoline into his vehicle? Shouldn't he just trust God that it's magically going to appear?
Yeah.
But, no, in my opinion, when God warns us, we should take action, because radical faith almost always requires radical action. And so, I believe we've been warned more than perhaps any generation in history in terms of what's coming. And you mentioned Noah, and God warned Noah. He said, hey, a great flood is coming. You need to build an ark. Now, could have God built an ark for him? He could have, of course. But God said, okay, I'm giving you the warning, and I want you to take radical action based on what I've already told you. And so Noah and his family, they built this ark approximately the size of a World War II aircraft carrier, which would have taken them years to do, and people would have mocked them, made fun of them, and said, this is never going to happen, you know. But Noah did it, and he was rewarded. Or Joseph, you know, he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, and he said, okay, there's 7 good years coming. Now, did he party during the 7 good years? No, he said, hey, we've got to get ready for the 7 years of famine. And so he instituted the greatest emergency food storage program in the ancient world. And by doing so, he saved not only Egypt, but his family, the future of Israel, the future of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and basically changed world history. Now, today, we've received warning after warning after warning about what's coming. And, some people are preparing, but most people aren't. And, you know, our grandparents and great-grandparents who lived in the Great Depression, they understood that, you should have a pantry full of food just in case something happens. It makes sense to have some food and supplies there. Or it makes sense to have an emergency fund to fall back on. It's only common sense. I encourage people to have an emergency fund that can cover at least 6 months of expenses so that if you lose your job, even if it's not the end of the world, hey, you lose your job, you can still pay the mortgage. You can still put food on the table. You can still do the things you need to do. It's only common sense. So a lot of these prepping things, it's only common sense to do. It only makes sense, even if the world doesn't end. But if there is a major problem, well, you don't want your family to be immediately run out of. What are we going to do for food? How are we going to survive? Because our world is becoming increasingly unstable, whether you look at the rise of earthquakes, the rise of volcanoes, you look at geopolitically the possibility of war. And now we've had political shaking, governmental shaking, the possibility of economic crisis, which we've already talked about. And the list goes on and on and on and on. In so many ways, our world is becoming so unstable. For people who have blind faith in the system, blind faith in our politicians, blind faith in the Federal Reserve, I think is very, very foolish. And I think it only makes sense to get prepared. And also whatever people can do to become independent of the system, whether it's learning how to grow a garden, whether it's having a side business. So if you lose your job, at least you still have some income coming in. Anything you could become more independent of the system, I think is a very good thing.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. We've had some of the top, preppers, if you will. We've also had some of the top survivalists, such as E.J. Snyder from Dual Survival on the show, Captain Michael Hawk. He's been on Discovery Channel. Yeah, I find it interesting, looking at your website, you use terminology that I use, and I'll use in my book, called The Great Storm. And I just try to break it down in symbolic terms that an eagle, when you study an eagle, it's the only bird that when a storm comes, it doesn't flee towards the mountain as a sparrow, right? In scripture, we're going to take this sucker head on and we're going to meet it. And so I always say, spread your wings as an eagle in faith and hope and use the crosses that Christ gives us in all these afflictions and trials to rise above the storm. And so I think that's the scenario that you're seeing. You're basically seeing your pacifists, who I think will just kind of flee towards the mountains. And then ultimately people who are proverbial eagles, if you will take this storm head on. I wanted to ask you this, and it kind of ties in with Trump and the whole Days of Lot thing. Do you think with his election and possibility of getting in here, so long as he's not assassinated or anything like that, do you think along that line things have stabilized? I mean, will we see the sodomite agenda progressed? I've reported upon this, and I'm sure you saw this in Canada, how now oral sex is now legal in Canada. bestiality. So, you know, a certain degree of bestiality there. And I've always said, hey, that might happen here in the United States, and people laugh, but that's what these new world orders want.
Yeah, and now Donald Trump is not going to be able to stop everything, because people need to realize the primary way these agendas have been progressed is through the legal system. And the legal system is far more liberal than the general population as a whole. And now we've had 8 years of Barack Obama appointing judges in the federal system and so on. And so, and you know, and Donald Trump's going to appoint a new Supreme Court justice, but so much of what happens happens on the lower levels and through the courts. So, you know, I expect the liberal agenda, because the judges aren't going to change overnight. Yeah, we're going to get one new Supreme Court justice in, but the vast, only a very small fraction of cases actually get to the Supreme Court. So on all the lower levels, the liberal agenda is going to continue to advance, and it's going to advance through state legislatures and, you know, out in California and so on and so forth. Fortunately, on the office of the president, Donald Trump is hopefully going to stand in the way of a number of these things. But what that's going to cause is a temper tantrum by the radical left. It's just going to make them angrier and angrier and angrier. And so that there will be a massive backlash from the radical left, which will feed into the civil unrest and the violence and so on. Unfortunately, America today is more divided than it's ever been before, and certainly in my lifetime. People are angry. People are frustrated. People are, you know, and we've already seen this the last couple of nights. People want to fight with each other. People. And so, you know, I fear that this nation could just explode. Instead of coming together now, I fear that it could explode, endless conflict, and potentially even, if things get bad enough, we could see an internal revolution started by the left, yeah, if things get bad enough.
Yeah, Soros, right? Soros money. He seems to be connected everywhere, whether it's the Vatican and his money with, you know, the whole immigration Trojan horse, which I'm sure you and I agree is just a breakdown of borders, of patriotism, of nationalism. And, you know, all these agendas have been pre-planned. It's not like they just cooked this up in the past few years, folks. I mean, these things are long planned in advance. You know, a question I had for you that I actually missed here on the geopolitical scene: what country do you think poses the greatest threat, you know, as it relates to the United States? We, of course, have some. I had on Trevor Loudon the other day, and he said there very much is a plan in place for a Red Dawn scenario, you know, kind of like, they're coming after us for our guns right now, right? The whole gun grab issue. Well, maybe if they get our guns away, that ultimately, you know, they feel that the foreign takeover could be, you know, a whole lot easier. But, you know, what country is? Is it Russia? Is it the nut job over there in North Korea? Is it China we need to be worried about, or is it all three?
Well, long term, I believe that Russia and China are our greatest threats, even more than Islamic terror, which I believe will increase, and if Trump becomes president, I believe it will still increase, and they'll try to crack down with security and everything else, but they're not going to be able to protect us. So I believe we will see more terror attacks and potentially false flags attacks too. And sometimes it might be difficult to discern between the two and figure out what is what. But in the long run, I do believe, you know, our relationship with China has already deteriorated tremendously because of the South China Sea, because of currency manipulation, other things. And now Donald Trump has spoken so strongly against China throughout the campaign. I think the Chinese, the Russians are kind of welcoming Trump in, but I think the Chinese are saying, whoa, we didn't want this guy. So, because, you know, Donald Trump has been talking about for years how the Chinese are ripping us off, which they are, but the Chinese, you know, the already our relationship with China is going downhill. So I think Russia and China, they've been getting closer together. They've been having economic agreements. They've been holding joint military exercises. And so I think that we could very easily slip into a situation where, into this new Cold War with Russia and China on one side and with us on the other side, and we'll see what Donald Trump does. But if he makes the wrong moves and Russia, things with Russia don't improve, and things with China, I think, are likely to get significantly worse with Donald Trump in there. So we could see that. And I think in the long run, a confrontation between those two sides is coming. Now, that's the longer term. First, I believe that, you know, we could potentially see economic collapse, civil unrest, rioting, looting, great rise in crime, in response, martial law, Trump trying to crack down, restore order, but chaos on Wall Street, and in the midst of all this, the potential for great natural disasters, because I believe that great natural disasters are coming to the United States. And already around the Ring of Fire, all around the world, we've seen a great increase. Fortunately, the U.S. has been spared up to this point, but I believe earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, all these things are coming to the United States, hopefully later than sooner, but I believe they are coming.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know what your take is on this, Michael. I go on other radio shows and put this out there, like Caravan to Midnight, and hopefully I'll get on Hagman soon too. But from a prophetic standpoint, this whole thing of Planet X is very real. There's been a lot of Catholic mystics that actually talk about it. I believe eventually, as Revelation says, Wormwood will be hit by an asteroid or a comet, which will come down, kick in, and cause all kinds of devastation. St. Hildegard talked about this comet hitting and basically breaking up the United States. But I'm right there with you. You know, as this system gets closer, I mean, everything. I mean, talk about volcanoes going off, sinkholes, earthquakes. It's going to be quite interesting. But again, I promote faith and hope. I try not to, I try not to paint things as being a fear monger. I always say eagles get excited for the storm, but it's interesting times to say the least. I wanted to transition into the whole rise of the police state, quote unquote, war on terror. Now, from my perspective, Michael, I've been warning everyone for years, the New World Order uses the whole war on terror to basically solidify the one world religion. I don't know if you have been seeing, anytime there's some kind of terrorist attack, then you have Francis out in, the Vatican saying, hey, Muslims and Jews and Christians got to all get together, in John Lennon fashion. And so it's just solidifying the one world religion closer and closer. Then you'll also notice how after some terrorist event, they drop another 1,000 or 2,000 soldiers in that remote area. So I think it's kind of like a normalization after a false flag. They send in these, more boots onto the ground. And here we're just surrounded by more and more of a police state. So whether it's drones, the TSA, the NSA, the DHS, and I'm sure you've been reporting on the FEMA camps, are more and more people waking up to this? Are they seeing the connection?
Yeah, well, and unfortunately, even under President Trump, I think that Trump, what is his response going to be? Every time there's a terror attack in the United States, he's going to respond by saying, hey, we're just going to bomb the heck out of ISIS, right? And so his response will be wanting to bomb someone or wanting to restore law and order in the United States, which means more security. So my fear is that he will have a knee-jerk reaction. Every time there's another terror attack, it's going to be more internal security, the TSA, everything else. I have to fly quite a bit these days, and, that's a pet peeve of mine. But and then overseas, he's going to want to use the U.S. military to punish those who it said have hit us. So, I could see the war on terror just getting a lot worse. As I mentioned earlier, it's not just Islamic terror, but the radical left, they're ready to go to war. I've been reading some of their stuff the last couple of days. They're in the whole mindset of, okay, this is the biggest fight of our lives, and we're not going to be friends. We're not going to compromise. We're coming against Trump 100%. And so, if they protest peacefully, that's one thing. But if there's violence and looting and rioting, Donald Trump's instinct is going to be to crack down and crack down hard, which is basically an increase in the police state, which could potentially make the pushback from the radical left even worse. Yeah. So we could have a state of, almost civil war as each side kind of raises the stakes. And we could see martial law imposed in some of these cities by Donald Trump. Not necessarily because he's a puppet of the New World Order, although some people believe he is, but just because Donald Trump's trying to restore order.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I understand. Now, what's your take on this? I had Ben Davidson on. He keeps track of the sun over there at Suspicious Observers. I know you and I both agree we're going to see more and more cataclysms. What was your take on Obama's executive order? I think he's had several. One was on space weather. The most recent one was, I think, on health or something along that line, like some catastrophe along that line. of a potential, you know, EMP solar kill shot. And I just wanted to put this out there for the non-Catholic Christians out there, that's actually in Catholic prophecy, that Our Lady of Akita warned that, you know, fire from the heavens would fall and actually wipe out a greater part of humanity, which is basically a replication of Revelation 8:7, where it talks about, you know, fire intermingling with hail and coming down. I think it said burned a third of the planet. You know, even from Catholic prophecy, that's reiterated. What is your take on that? And these underground cities they seem to be, you know, making. I mean, it seems the elite are well aware that we're close to World War III and some type of huge space weather event. Have you covered this a little bit? I mean, what's your take and angle on this?
Yeah, well, I'm very concerned about the potential for an EMP. Not, you know, of course, it can be caused by a nuclear weapon, but I'm even more concerned about the sun, because within the last couple of years, there are actually a couple of very, very close shaves where we almost had another Carrington event, which refers to an event back in the 19th century when, you know, telegraph machines were fried and whatever. But today, we're so dependent on electronics for everything. Without the internet, how would our economy run? How would our banking run? How would our communications, our televisions, our cell phones, everything? We're so dependent on you know, our electronics, our computers. Without them, we're zapped into the back into the 18th or 19th century very, very rapidly. So, and you know, it wouldn't take a ton of money to harden our power grid against this. And so, you know, and why did Barack Obama come out with this at you know, this executive order at this time? I mean, people have all kinds of theories about that, but they acknowledge it's a problem, but they're not spending the money to fix it, to do something to harden our grid, which, you know, if the grid goes down, it's going to be chaos. It's going to, you know, the trucks are going to stop running, the food's going to disappear from the stores. I mean, and you know, and the report to, you know, there was a commission, and the report they made to Congress said, hey, if there is an EMP event and the power grid goes down permanently, 90% of the U.S. population would die within 1 year. Now, I don't know if it would be quite that bad, but hey, 50%, 70%, whatever number you want to throw out there, I mean, it would just be, you know, Mad Max, crazy, you know, apocalyptic. But this is a very real possibility. I mean, scientists tell us it's going to happen someday. These solar storms do happen at some point. The Earth isn't going to dodge all of them. At some point, we're going to be hit again, and this type of thing is going to happen, but we're not making the preparations for it. So that is a major concern of mine. I've written about it quite a bit in the past, but it's another thing that our society is not prepared for.
Yeah, I would argue maybe one of the positive things to come out of all of that is a simple return to God. You know, when all of these quote-unquote things are taken away from us, now all of a sudden mankind has to turn back to their God, you know, in silence and solitude and prayer. So I think that's what we're going to see. I always kind of liken it to man being put out on Gilligan's Island or whatever that movie was with Tom Hanks, where he's talking to the volleyball head. You know, that's what we need. We need to get re-encounter God, basically, and get back to more simplicity. But I agree with you that there's going to be a lot of things that a solar kill shot, you know, that would transpire from that ultimately is going to ruin society. What's your take on, you know, let's just get right into it, in terms of the demonic? You know, I just call it the rise in the demonic. We're seeing these creepy clowns show up all over the place. You know, within the Catholic Church, it was reported in Italy that not only is there a shortage of priests worldwide, the priests that they do have, they're too scared to even want to fight the demonic, which is just cowardice. But that's the times we're living in. We're seeing, you know, parents killing their children. I read a story the other day of where a younger man beheaded his mom, put his mom's head in the fridge. I mean, just bizarre stories, Michael. I mean, it just seems like the darkness is just coming all around us. Doesn't it seem that way?
Oh, it absolutely does, Eric. Where, you know, in thousands of different ways, just about every type of evil that you can imagine is multiplying. So a lot of people say, oh, we got, you know, our guy into the White House, everything's going to change. But the truth is, nothing's going to change in society until we change our own hearts, you know. And in what, you know, just what we're seeing in the United States, for example, if you go back to 1940, about 4% of all babies were born to mothers that were not married. Today, that's over 40%. In fact, for the last 8 years, roughly tracking the time Barack Obama spent in the White House, for the first time in American history, the percentage of a baby's born to mothers out of wedlock has been over 40% each of the last 8 years. It's never happened before in American history, 10 times higher than back in 1940. Or you just look at pornography, where surveys have found that two-thirds of all Christian men, not talking about the world, but two-thirds of all Christian men look at pornography on a regular basis. In fact, one survey found that 64% of all Christian men had looked at pornography within the last 30 days. And so we've got the abortion where, you know, so many in the Catholic Church are so concerned about this. But then, as you mentioned, 40% of them voted for Hillary Clinton, which is the biggest champion of abortion we've ever seen. But here in the United States, 58 million babies have been killed since Roe versus Wade was decided in 1973. And so it's kind of like saying, okay, you know, we're going to go back to Nazi Germany. And at the height, you know, near the end of the World War II and the Nazis, they're killing 6 million Jewish people. And it's as if they held an election and said, okay, should we continue doing this? And most Germans voted for Hitler, yet saying, yeah, let's keep doing that. Well, you know, that's essentially what we've just done, where we just held an election. We had one candidate which said, hey, I believe in abortion through all 9 months, you know, unlimited abortion. I want to have government pay for it. I am the greatest champion for Planned Parenthood that America has ever seen, Hillary Clinton. And most Americans, they had a choice, and most Americans voted for Hillary Clinton because she, as we talked about earlier, won the popular vote. So, you know, and we've got the whole gay agenda. We, you know, the rate of divorce in the church is about the same as it's in the world. The rate of teen pregnancy is about the same in the church as it is in the world. You know, the Bible talks about in the last days we would see wickedness increase. We would see all these things. And as a result, I believe judgment is coming to America and to the world. A great shaking is coming. But as you mentioned, Eric, this great shaking is going to shake people. It's going to shake people up and shake many of them into the kingdom, into the church. It's going to cause repentance. It's going to cause a turning to God. And so my wife and I, as you mentioned, we're not fearful. We're not down. We're not depressed. We're not on any drugs. We're not on any medication. We're not doom and, you know, people say, oh, you're doom and gloom. We're not doom and gloom at all. Part of our message is warning about what's coming, but we're actually looking forward to what's coming because we believe the greatest chapters of our lives are still ahead of us. We believe the greatest move of God in the history of the world is coming. We believe we're going to see more people turn to God at this time than any time before. We believe a great move of the Holy Spirit is coming. And we believe we're going to see things that we haven't seen since the book of Acts. So I appreciate your perspective where you say, hey, we're looking forward to what's coming. And we're looking forward to what's coming. And so, yeah, we get things like emergency food and all these other things, but we're not going to dig a hole, sit in our bunker, hug our emergency food, and wait for it all to be over. Rather, this is our Super Bowl. This is our NBA championship. This is our time to rise up and be the people that God created us to be, to live at this time, which I believe is just before the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I believe it can be the finest hour for the church, the finest hour for the people of God. And we're going to see things happen that we've never seen before. And we're going to be the generation that finally gets things right, I believe.
Yeah, and to kind of follow up on one of your points, too, I would argue in a very loose sense, yes, America certainly is another Babylon. The early church fathers did reiterate that Babylon would be interpreted as Rome or Jerusalem. Certainly what we see going on since this infiltration of the church where they're trying to form this one world religion. And again, I always have to try to tell Christians it's not the Catholic Church doing it. The Catholic Church has been infiltrated by another sect which is trying to bring about this one world religion. So real Catholics, which are few and far between these days, and I realize there's a lot of confused people out there since the Second Vatican Council, but real Catholics aren't fooled by this. I mean, people who know Freemasonry know that what's being taught since Vatican II is Freemasonry. It's not Catholicism in the least bit. Now, the reason why I bring that up is because one of the last signs, I guess you can say, before Antichrist shows up is that ultimately the New World Order will push the Vicar of Christ out of Rome, and Rome would eventually return to ancient paganism, just like the early days. That's where I'm building up to a point here, because you covered the Arc of Triumph in New York City, but then you also pointed out, I think it was you, you know, that statue of Nimrod, I think it was out in Rome somewhere, which doesn't surprise me, because that's what's being built out in Babylon these days. In Rome, is this new Tower of Babel, this city of man, which truly Catholics/Christians, they can have nothing to do with. And we're seeing what? The swarms of earthquakes lately, Michael. I mean, so Rome's going to get it. I mean, Rome is going to be, you know, devastated by the time God's done with it. But truly, I re-echo exactly what Michael is saying. St. Teresa, or St. Therese, the little child, actually said that she envied those who would be around the times of Antichrist, because it would be truly exciting times. So again, you know, remain in faith and hope, folks. And I don't know if there's any other topic that you wanted to cover. I mean, yeah, I mean, we've kind of talked about the rise in the demonic, but just the culture of death in general here. It seems like the New World Order wants to, you know, they want us fat, dumbed down, you know, whether it's chemtrails, whether it's poisoning of the food and water. I mean, all this kind of, you know, vaccines even. I mean, talk about global depopulation, right?
Oh, absolutely. And we, as a society, we have been dumbed down. We have been, you know, they want us distracted with news and sports and entertainment. And, you know, the average American watches 5 hours of television a day. And when you add in DVDs and your cell phones and radio and all the other forms of media, that's another 5 hours where we've always got something on, something in the background, something on our headphones, so, you know, something while we're eating dinner. And so when you feed that much stuff, and of course, not more than 90% of all that media is controlled by, you know, the giant media corporations, which are in turn owned by the elite of the world. But when you feed that much into your mind every day, it's going to change your worldview, how you think, how you feel about things, how you feel about gay marriage or whatever it is. And we've seen, you know, the population shift. And so I'd encourage people to turn off the mainstream media, turn off the entertainment, you know, read the Bible, pray, you know, feed your thing self with the things of God. Because we really need to break this mind control, which we willingly impose. You know, most of us willingly plug ourselves into the matrix that they provided for us, and so, you know, we're willing partners in our enslavement, which is, and we need to try to break out of that, because you know, the times ahead, I believe, are going to be quite perilous, and we need to be able to think for ourselves.
Absolutely, and I've always argued in sarcastic fashion, I don't know why people are waiting for the zombie apocalypse, because we are surrounded by zombies. You know, get latest gadgets and gadgets, as you mentioned. You know, people really just need to turn away from that stuff, as you mentioned, and really get back to the simple life, prayer, silence, and solitude. I always advocate at least an hour of day, you know, whether that's out for a walk with our Lord, just dialoguing, whatever you need to do. You got to break. And even for married couples, I argue, because I know it could be even more hectic for married couples, but I would advocate that for married couples as well. Wow, what a blockbuster talk here with Michael Snyder. We definitely got to bring Michael back on as we continue to move closer and closer. The last thing I kind of want to interject, I was talking with Michael off air. I'd like for you all to mark this name down and research it yourself, because from my vast study on the Antichrist, I believe the biblical Antichrist to be this character called Maitreya, whom he says all of the world religions are waiting for. And it's very frightening. His name adds up to 666. We know the Antichrist will rule from the Third Temple in Jerusalem, which they're building right now, okay? And he has connections to that in the New Jerusalem Project. All I'm trying to say here, Michael, is I think it's possible by year's end, 2017, he could make his emergence, because when you read their writings, he says after the economic collapse, he's going to show up on TV. Remember how in Scripture it says the whole world will see him in an hour? Well, that's what's called the Day of Declaration by Maitreya, where he's going to show up on TV and quote-unquote telepathically talk to everyone in their own native language. So if we're expecting an imminent collapse here, as I think Michael and I are expecting, that would mean that this character's showing up on the scene is not too far off. And by the way, he will be purported by the United Nations as the one, it's a chosen one, you know, for lack of a better word. So you can get to his apologetics. It's called shareinternational.org. If you want to see what's about to happen, go to his website and know thy enemy, as I say it. Michael, I'm going to give you the last few minutes here. Just summarize it for us. Why don't you bring up any of your upcoming projects, articles, websites, you know, media appearances, just do some shameless self-promotion, as I put it.
Okay. Well, the primary website that I'm known for is the economiccollapseblog.com, or if you just go to Google and type in the economic collapse, it's the first result that comes up. If people want to find all of my articles gathered in a single place, they can go to themostimportantnews.com, where I have all of my articles plus articles by guest authors that we are starting to feature as well. So kind of a Drudge Report, emerging Drudge Report, if you will, starting to move in that direction. But then I've also written three books. Eric already mentioned my novel, which is The Beginning of the End, which is kind of an apocalyptic end times type of novel, but kind of portrays things that I believe are coming. I also wrote Get Prepared Now with a co-author that talks about getting prepared, as we discussed today. But then my latest book is entitled The Rapture Verdict, and we talked about some last days things today, Book of Revelation. And and most evangelical Christians out there believe that there's this rapture which is going to come and take them out of here before anything really bad happens. And in my book, I demonstrate from scripture that's not going to happen, but that we're actually going to go all the way through it. And Jesus comes back at the very end. As was pretty much taught all throughout church history. But if people are interested in that book is titled The Rapture Verdict, and all of my books are available on Amazon.com.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that actually too. I mean, yeah, that's what the Catholic Church reiterates. There's no pre or mid tribulation, and even from Scripture, Michael, it doesn't make sense. I mean, we know our Lord says during the Great Tribulation, you know, if those days were not shortened for the elect. Now, that's an implication the elect are here. And then also, we know even from Revelation, we know that Antichrist is going to be chopping heads off of Christians. So we know, I mean, just on the basis of those two scriptures, we know we're going to be around. I know that's just two pieces of evidence there. But yeah, the church fathers and the Catholic Church in general denounce that interpretation of the rapture. And I would also add, pay attention. This Maitreya character has a second Pentecost, he calls it. And in my opinion, they're going to stage these UFOs around the world, and they're going to say the rapture's here, and you're going to see a lot of evangelicals fall for it, and they'll go outside, folks, and it's not going to be a good and wholesome thing. We're talking fallen angels. And so that's why I kind of mentioned it to Michael off the air, because Maitreya, in my opinion, is this character that's associated with these fallen angels, and the whole UFO bit ties in with a quote-unquote pre- or mid rapture thesis. So good talk today, Michael. I definitely want to bring you back on so we could get through some more current events in the upcoming months. And like I said, I'll put everything right in front of everyone, whether it's your book, whether it's your website. So all I have to do is click it in the blog or in the description box of the video. And so, like I said, folks, we're living in some interesting and exciting times. Keep your wings spread in faith and hope as an eagle. Let's go out there and do works of mercy and charity. I know there's a lot of negative news out there on a daily basis, but hey, we're called to be the salt and light of the world. Let's get out there. Have a little bit of a sense of humor, as I try to with a lot of this news. Get out there and make some people laugh. Start sharing. I mean, start doing the things that we know we're supposed to be doing as Christians. And so with that, I leave you, my good friends. Continue to keep me in prayer, keep Michael in prayer. And until next time, stay safe and God bless.